The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
I jumped the gun, folks. But we are back for the second hour. Sweeney and the Waz with you. Plenty of football and especially a ton of hockey talk in that first hour.
A lot of rivalry.
And we're playing a little Earth, Wind, and Fire shining star there, right, Brian? Because the Hall of Fame vote for Major League Baseball is coming up. And who better to have with us than a man who's going on 20 years of being a Major League Baseball official scorer. Also works for Sirius XM Radio.
Of course.
Howie Kaufman's with us here tonight. Howie, how are you doing, buddy?
How's it going, Howie?
Hey, guys. Good to be with you.
We're so happy you joined us. Now, before we get to the baseball and everything, we know you also write articles now for New York Sports Day. Tell us a little bit about that and what you got going on there.
Well, I'm kind of like becoming a little bit of the baseball editor over there, and I'm writing some off-season columns, and when I'm at a Ranger game or a Knick game, I'll put a column up on the site, nysportsday.com. I hope people check it out. Covers New York sports. We know we cover everything local, and people who are into New York sports should definitely check out the site. A lot of good writers, a lot of interesting stuff out there.
And you guys are on Twitter also, because I follow it on Twitter, and I'll pull up the articles when I see the link.
Yeah, we're on Twitter, Facebook. It's a nice design. Some nice photos and some really good information. If people are hungry for information, they like to read. I recommend some of the writers that we've got.
All right, and also you're an author. You got a book coming out with Mark Roseman, right? Called Rangers by the Number. You want to tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah, that was quite the project. It's basically a history of the Rangers through their jersey numbers. The chapters are listed by the numbers one through 99. There's a separate chapter, 1 through 36, and then from there we group the chapters a little. But there's a lot of interesting tidbits about the players and guys you may never have heard of. We've got every player listed at some point or another that played through last season in Ranger history.
Wow, that's very interesting.
That's definitely a book on that.
Yeah.
I want to see where
I'm at. I'm an Islander fan. I'd like to check it out.
Because you're obviously going to have Phil Esposito listed at 77. He's really the only guy that really wore it before this kid Esposito came.
You know, even if you're an Islander fan or you're a hockey fan, I mean, you know Ranger history.
Yeah.
You know Ranger history, just like Rangers know Islander history, Ranger fans.
Right.
So you'll get a kick out of some of the things that, you remember Bill Chadwick used to say he couldn't put the puck in the ocean if he's standing at the end of the pier?
Right,
well,
right.
We found a guy who played for the Rangers. He ended up with the Red Wings. And they also said he couldn't put the puck in the ocean at the end of the pier. And they actually took him to the pier when they came to New York as a publicity stunt. And the writer wrote, yeah, the first attempt, this seagull came out of nowhere and took the puck out of midair, which didn't happen. It was just a funny story they added to the copy.
There you go. Now, in your book, do you account for guys wearing different numbers? Like Esposito wore 12 when he came to the Rangers, and then he went to 77.
We have a little bio there which lists something for every player.
Right.
We have their Ranger debut, the date. Uh-huh. We have the number of games regular season they play with the Rangers. We have the number of playoff games they play with the Rangers.
Okay.
And by the way, with that debut, we list the game and the score.
Oh, nice.
So anyway, and we if they wore another number, we write also wore number, whatever. Some guys wore three other numbers,
right.
So we just list them. But yeah. The other numbers are accounted for. Obviously, they're not in the three chapters. They're only in one chapter.
Right.
So, we try and account for all, as best as we could, to find all the numbers that they wore.
And Howie, when's the book coming out?
It's coming out, within the next month.
Oh, that's good. Could be a nice Hanukkah and Christmas present if it makes it before then.
Nice holiday gift.
Nice holiday gift.
We're expecting it at the end of the month, and, hopefully it'll be out there, right around New Year's. So
All right.
I mean, you like hockey, you like information, hockey stuff. Hockey's got a great history, just like any other sport. So
it's
tremendous.
We were just talking about the old rivalries, like with the blood on the ice, with Domi and Baumgartner going at it, back with Gillies and Nystrom. It just now the way the Islanders are playing now, It just feels like considering the Jets and the Giants stink this year.
You want to hear a funny story? 1975. I'm sitting in my car, listening to the game. You know, Parisi.
Parisi. Game three.
The Rangers in overtime. I listened to the game on the radio. Oh man. I wanted to drive off the road at that point.
You know what, Howie? I can't say the word that my father used, but I always remember a story my cousin told. My cousin Paul is a few years older than me. He goes, I remember the first time I heard an adult curse. It was Uncle John, and it was right after J.P. Parisi scored to win for the Islanders. All I remember was he hit the armchair of the couch, and he blurted out a word. Anybody can guess what the word was. So whenever he tells the story at the holidays, I always die laughing. I was too young to remember that particular memory. I started watching, actually, when Ferguson came in as the GM, and he had changed the uniform numbers around.
That's so, when you started following the team?
Yeah, 76, 77 was like the first year I really recall going to. Like, I went to my first Ranger game in October of 76, so I didn't get to experience the heartache of J.P. Parisi scoring like you did and like my father did.
I'll tell you something. I've been following them since 64, 65, and December 30th will be the 50th anniversary of the first game I ever went to, and I still have the stuff.
Wow.
And so since
we're on... That was at the 49th Street Garden, the old garden. It was one of the last games there. And then, get this, my first game at the new building ever, I went in 1968. It wasn't a Ranger game. It was the California Golden Seals against the Philadelphia Flyers. They moved the game to the Garden because the roof had been blown off the new Spectrum.
Oh, really?
And the game was supposed to be on Channel 2. It was a national game. They didn't want to screw the teams. So they sold tickets to fans to come to the game, see California play Philly at the Garden.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That must have been awesome.
Now, who was your first?
Then we tried to stay for the Ranger game, but it was no go because they were playing that. It was a Sunday afternoon, and the Rangers played that night. They kicked everybody out, obviously.
There you go. Now, who was your first favorite Ranger when you started following the team?
Probably Phil Goyette.
Phil Goyette. All right.
Yeah, first Islander coach.
My first favorite Ranger was Phil Esposito. He scored a goal first game I ever went to.
Phil Esposito was
lost to the Bruins. He was my favorite Ranger. And my dad wasn't happy about that because he was a big Brad Paul fan. He wasn't happy with that trade, so there you go.
Yeah, well, we were always stunned. I was already a big fan at that point, like 10 years when that happened. So.
You see, I'm the only outcast here. I'm the only Islander fan here in this conversation right now. Because Derek's childhood was destroyed by the Islanders winning
four straight cups. Now, John, were you aware of the Parisi goal? Were you aware of that game?
Yeah, I was still a little young.
I was in the business already when they were winning the four cups.
Look at that. Yeah, obviously. All right, so now, Howie, you are the baseball expert coming in. Before we get to the Hall of Fame talk, the Yankees hired a new manager, Aaron Boone. You have any comments on that, what your feelings are about that hiring?
I have three words for it. We will see. I mean, rolling the dice has been thrown around already and going out on a limb. I mean, to me, the whole philosophy of what's going on in baseball nowadays, to poo-poo what the manager does in the dugout, think you can control it from the outside, you're making a mistake because you can't script the game, you know, to your liking all the time. That's why you have to be balanced. To win in baseball, you got to be able to do different things. Look what happened in the World Series. Everyone credits the Astros for being the sabermetric built team. The bottom line is they had high draft picks. Their scouting of these ball players was right on.
Yes.
You're not analytically looking at players when they're young and everything. They're still developing. The idea is to see what they transcend to. And then to win the World Series, and I've said this to Derek many times before, in order to win a championship in baseball, you have to overcome your flaws, especially in the postseason. You can win in the regular season with a certain type of team, and then the postseason changes a lot of things. So the Astros' flaw was their bullpen. So how did they overcome that? They used starters, and they stuck with guys instead of using the metric system. Dave Roberts got criticized in Game 2 for taking Rich Hill out. Well, it said after 100 pitches, he gets hit like at a 340 clip or whatever. Sometimes you got to just watch the game and see what's going on for the benefit of your team. That's where the manager's going to still, despite how they poo-poo it,
Right, I agree.
That guy comes into play. Now, to me, the most important thing with the Boone hiring may be a bench coach. You may have to bring in an experienced eye, a guy who's been in the dugout. You know, how's he going to run the pitching staff? Rothschild's going to help him, but is Rothschild going to assume all the responsibility that he may not have had under Girardi? And they don't have a coaching staff yet beyond Rothschild. So,
no, not yet.
You know,
yeah.
they're really, to me, it's bewildering how they took their time with this. And I'll be honest with you, this is just my opinion. I wasn't impressed with any of the candidates they had on their list.
Right.
Let me ask you a question, though. With Girardi, I heard, even if they, when I read this and they were talking about it, even if they went to the World Series, Girardi was getting fired either way. He was getting let go either way. Why was that, though? This team, I think, next year could compete again. They got a monster team. They got some young, great talent on this team.
I've had my qualms with Girardi in the past. And a lot of guys think he's a great manager. I think he was a good manager, not a great manager. I don't think he maximized the potential of his rosters, despite the fact he had winning records. You know, yeah, they had some crappy teams that he overachieved with, but he made a lot of mistakes in games. You know, just that you pissed off a lot of people, you alienated guys in a lot of ways when he was taking guys out so quick. And you got to tell these, you got, that's where I think the communication thing broke down. But the fact that they were citing it so much, there's got to be a little more to it than just that. And to me, if you're going to make this move, why didn't you make it last year?
Right.
You know, if Hal Steinbrenner, as he said, this goes back, you know, before they got rid of him, he said, well, we'll be evaluating not just short term, but over 2 or 3 years. So if this was developing over 2 or 3 years, last year was the time to get rid of him and start over when you were transitioning. Now you've already transitioned. You're bringing in a new manager with not only pressure just being the Yankee manager, enormous pressure because this is a new era of Yankees where the fans and the hierarchy are going to expect winning with this new, you know, as you said, a monster team. You put this guy in charge of that, really rolling the dice here. You know, they better hope it works out.
I agree with you.
Brian Cashman's reputation is a little on the line here.
Right, I agree with that.
I agree with that.
And with the Mets, with Mickey Callaway, what do you think of that hiring? You like it or not?
I'm not sure. I mean, they brought him in to fix the pitching staff, but they need more than just fixing the pitching staff. How's he going to handle Cespedes when he goes on his tangents of not hustling and things like that, you know? And they still need outfielders. You don't know about Conforto. What's their infield? It's obvious to me that they're going to use Cabrera at third and try to get a second baseman because they've been talking about, like, trying to maybe make a deal for Detroit's Ian Kinsler. I heard from a little birdie that Brian Dozier's name was being tossed around.
That would be good.
The Twins need starters. The Mets, what happened to the Mets is unfortunate because they're going to have to gamble with some of these arms
right,
to get back things they need. They have to. Like, to me, they should see what kind of market Rafael Montero will bring back. He still has a little value because of his youth. Yeah, we've seen him be inconsistent, but other people may think they could straighten him out. So you got to dangle him. The Twins may take back a couple arms to Dozier, who's an impending free agent.
Right.
Now, Kinsler's an impending free agent, but he's 35 years old.
Yeah,
so you bring in Kinsler for 1 year, are you going to re-sign him again to a three-year deal?
Plus, doesn't he get hurt all the time? Isn't he, like, injury-prone, that guy, too? Plus, he's, like I say, he's old. Well, you know.
You know, it's amazing. He got better as a fielder. He used to be a little bit of a not so great with Texas.
Right.
And then now he's winning gold gloves. When I saw him play with Texas, he wasn't that great. So to his credit, he got better. He's a decent leadoff guy, which is what the Mets need. But to me, Dozier would be a much better fit.
Yeah, Dozier's a much better
fit. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, this is, to me, that's doing. And, you know, this thing with Dominic Smith now, I hope they're trying to motivate him because if they're giving up on him, I mean, that's ridiculous. And I know he looks like he's overweight. He's gonna look like that at times.
Right.
But to me, I saw a little power to the opposite field. I saw nice hands on the swing. I saw a guy who could develop into a nice little hitter if he keeps himself in shape. Yeah, he didn't overwhelm me with the glove. All right, let's see a little more there. You don't know. Maybe he gets better. Maybe he's not that bad as he looked. But to me, you bury the guy right away without any options coming in. What are you gonna? You gonna bring in Jay Bruce to play first base? I don't think they should have a reunion there with Jay Bruce. I think they should move on and try something else. And if they're going to spend money, spend it wisely.
Yeah, I was kind of looking forward to Rosario and Smith developing into good, solid homegrown products.
I think, oh, boy. I agree.
I agree with you with Bruce, though. I mean, Bruce had a great year for us. It was, you know, it's unfortunate. Bruce is a better fit in Cleveland anyway.
Bruce is a numbers guy. He's a secondary guy. He can't be like even your one or two guy. He's almost got to be like your three guy, you know?
Yeah.
He's not that kind of guy to lead you in that way with his performance on the field. He's a perfect example of why sometimes I'm against these analytical theories. He's a guy who looks good on the metrics. He does this. He gives you OBP. He gives you all these numbers. Yeah, but do you win? Yeah, he was on Cleveland. Look what happened. He got off to a great start in the first two games, and the Yankees shut him off like a faucet in the last three.
Well,
he did nothing.
Right, yeah.
So what's going to – if the Mets sign him, who are you getting? You're getting Jay Bruce, who gives you the 30 home runs and 100 RBIs in certain situations, or you get the Jay Bruce who went to sleep in the last three games last year. So that's why I feel they shouldn't even try a reunion.
Well, you know, at one point he was red hot. But I mean, he was one of the best players on the Mets at one time.
Yeah, but the focal point should be
like you said, he shuts it off.
Is for the monster he is.
I liked
Hubie Brooks when I was a kid. But I remember, you know, the focal point is with all the injuries with the pitchers, but to me, Cespedes is a monster, and he's been the disappointment with injuries. He always goes down at some point. Right?
I like the fact that they're focusing on his hydration. Because it makes sense if he's getting all these hamstring injuries. That could be a reason.
Right.
You know, I like the fact that they're leaning in that direction at least. But again, you know, they got a lot of things going on here. And, you know, I don't know. The way these interview processes are conducted, I want experience in the dog. I think the Tigers made a great hire with Gardenhire. I would have loved to have seen Gardenhire manage the Yankees. Let me tell you.
Yeah, I liked him. He did well in Minnesota. Yeah, you're right.
He sure did.
He's real good.
A good man. You know what's happening now? They're taking away the good tacticians out of the dugout. They want robots down there. Let's flip the game, you know. To me, it's not winning baseball. It was so great. Why, the A's who are credited, Billy Beane credited for starting all this revolution with Moneyball. What has he won? And as I wrote in one of my columns 2 weeks ago, doesn't it seem like the A's are always rebuilding?
Yes, I agree with you.
Rebuilding from what?
Yeah, they're doing it every year. Here goes the A's. They're trading this guy, trading that guy, rebuilding again.
So where's the great money ball system? Right. Where's the winning? I know
that's
they don't
true.
Have funds.
They praise him like he's won World Series and with the World Series, but he hasn't won anything.
Yeah, no, that's true. You know what? It's almost like the Expos always developed these great players and they would always leave. But, like, at least Miami, at least they've won a couple of World Series, but they're another team. They develop all these great ball players, and then they leave. Like, they're looking to trade Stanton now. I'm like, all right, but...
What about him coming to the Mets?
Yeah, but the A's haven't developed all these
the
great ball players.
No, I know. I agree. They had those pitches for that one period of time.
Josh Donaldson's the main guy. They let get away.
Right,
Everybody else hasn't been that great.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. All right, Howie. So we have this Hall of Fame vote coming up pretty soon.
All right, we got to be quick. Because I got to get to.
That's okay. We'll cut you loose as soon as we get a good 5 minutes here on this, though.
Okay.
What are your feelings with the first time eligible guys and with the guys coming back that are eligible? Who are you looking at? I know you're a hard marker. Give us the guys that you would vote for.
Unfortunately, I'm not looking at the ballot. Offhand, I would definitely put in Chipper Jones.
All right, so I'm going to give you some of the names. Chipper Jones, and you think he's the first ballot.
Yeah,
I agree with
off.
That.
You wrote him off, I'll tell you. Yes,
Tomei.
Tim Tomei.
No.
No, 600 homers.
Not a first ballot.
I don't care.
You see him as a Hall of Famer down the line?
I never thought of him as one of the great players of his era.
Is that because he DH'd a lot? Why is that, though? Just real quick.
I think part of it was he was on great teams. He got a little unheralded at times. I thought he was a little compiler as a DH. I didn't consider him just a great hitter. I think just a little below.
All right, how about
not a lot, but a little.
How about Andrew Jones?
I don't go by the 600 homer deal, and I'm not a guy who goes by certain numbers automatically guarantee induction. That's not me.
I got you. How about Andrew Jones? 10 gold gloves.
Nope. Little short.
I'm going to give you one other name because I don't think there's any other first-timers that should be in the Hall of Fame. The only other guy that I look at that I would vote for because I put a premium on defense is Omar Vizquel.
No.
No, really. 11 gold gloves and over 2,700 hits. You're saying, all right, it's a hard market, but Chipper Jones, we agree on.
One-dimensional player. How long did he play?
He played over 20 years, but he won.
Yeah, what was his high in hits for a season?
Without knowing for sure, I would say 170, 180.
20 years, 2,700 hits.
He had 191 1 year, 171 another year.
How many hits was that a year? 170.
He finished with 2877. That's a lot. I mean, that's a lot of hits for a shortstop. Now
stayed around.
The 11 gold gloves. You don't think he goes in right behind like an Ozzie Smith?
Chip Cott has 16 gold gloves. Has won 283 games.
Yeah, but he was a pitcher, not a shortstop. Man. Shortstop's like the marquee defense of the infield.
And that's it. I'm weighing him against his own position.
Right.
I know he's it. There's a lot better shortstops out there overall.
All right.
So, what's his power? He doesn't really display any power numbers.
No, he's a little man that played through the steroid era.
And then not a great hitter. He played 20 years, 2,700 hits. What's that average out to a year? About 170?
Let me ask you.
He averaged 157 hits a year is what he averaged.
Okay, there you go. That's moderate.
What about, okay, here we go. Second year man, Guerrero.
Vladimir Guerrero, you got to think he's a Hall of Famer, right?
Joke that he's not in already.
I agree.
Absolute joke.
He's got to get in.
Absolute
okay.
joke.
And what about Hoffman, third year?
No.
I think Hoffman has to wait until...
Because you got to wait until the same.
He's got to wait until after Rivera goes in anyway.
Here's
another guy I think should be voted in, but maybe they probably won't because he's...
Hoffman doesn't pass the eye test. Right. Too many mess-ups in big spots.
Yeah, I agree with that. What about Curt Schilling? I mean, I think...
I know everyone's weighing his postseason.
His postseason was
again,
unreal,
to me. I know. Again, to me, a notch below it overall. I'm sorry.
Does he get a knock because of his mouth?
Not from me. I don't put that in the equation. I think a lot of guys do. That's not my opinion.
I mean, he was a top three Cy Young three times. I know he didn't win a Cy Young, but he had the 300 strikeout seasons and 3,000 Ks, right?
He's a half inning away from one less MVP and one less... You know, raving performance
right.
against the Yankees. So, you know, you wanted to break it down to that minutia. You know, he was a great postseason pitcher. He was consistent in the regular season. How many games did he win?
216. Mm. 216 and 146, a .597 win percentage.
You want a Cy Young?
No, he was second three times and fourth another time. Never won the Cy Young, though. But he struck out over 3,000. And he had 300 or more Ks in the year three times. I mean, he struck out a lot of guys. He was an innings monster. He led the league in wins twice. He had three 20 win seasons, 22, 23, and 21.
Obviously, a lot of people feel like I do. He's not getting the support.
Yeah, I know.
Howie, I want to ask you a question about a couple of guys here. These are all. What are they going to do about these guys? Bonds, Clemens. Sosa.
So the steroid guys. How would you handle the guys that did the steroids?
What are they going to do about these guys? Guerrero?
Sosa won't get in.
Manny?
Bonds and Clemens may get in soon. I mean, who knows?
Are they going to put an asterisk next to that?
I don't think so. I think a lot of guys are a little too lenient. Again, they just stare at the numbers, and they don't take heed of the rules of sportsmanship and character. And, you know...
Would you vote for them?
Steve Carlton didn't cheat on anything. He was nasty to the media, but he deserved to be in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
You know, a lot of guys didn't vote for him because they claim the sportsmanship clause because he didn't talk to them.
Right. So it took him a while.
Now you get a young. You may see an influx of their votes.
Well, Steve Carlton got in eventually. If you were voting, would you vote for a guy like Bonds or Clemens?
Well, what about Manny?
I wouldn't have voted for Ivan Rodriguez if I'm not going to vote for Bonds or Clemens. From my eyes, I saw the guy shrink body-wise.
Right, so now guys
about it.
So guys that were in, that were highly suspicious, like a Pudge Rodriguez, dominant defensive player, but he's in.
But because
those guys are in, do you think these other guys should be voted in?
Mike Piazza was highly suspicious, and I was around him a lot, and he took his shirt off and he had acne on
right.
his back. Did that mean he was doing steroids?
We don't know.
Exactly. So I would vote for Mike Piazza without any question.
All right. I mean, I thought Pudge deserved to be in anyway, so I would vote for him also. So, but because those guys are in, do you think these other guys should just be voted in or no?
Because I think once one guy gets in, they're all going to get in.
You know what? They got it, even though they got acquitted, you know, or whatever they were being charged
right.
with, The fact that they even went to trial, I know it's guilt by association, but on that case, I would probably not vote for them.
All right. That's fair enough. All right, last guy for me, just to ask, just because the guy had a great career, well over a 600 win percentage. He was 270 and 153. Mike Mussina, what do you think about him?
Again, a notch below. He only won 20 once.
Yep.
He's got a lot of 18, 19s. Now, I'll say this. Somebody told me this. I don't remember who it was, but if you think about it, it kind of makes sense. He pitched in an era where there was steroid users.
Yep.
He was a guy. He didn't have. He wasn't what you call a power pitcher.
No,
he was more. He liked to finesse you and get you off balance, and get you to fly out just short of the wall, or fly out to set it to a short outfield, or hit a weak grounder. A guy told me that a guy on steroids could be off balance, and he'd be hitting those good pitches over the wall, even though if he wasn't on the steroids, he wouldn't have that extra 10 feet to get that to be a home run instead of an out.
Well, you brought up the era that he pitched in, so this is why I just want to throw this in. Now, he had a 3.68 ERA in a steroid era. That's pretty good for that era, right? I mean, you have to give him marks for that.
Yeah, he's on the bubble. I got to get going, all right?
All right, listen, we appreciate the time, Howie. Have a great holiday season.
Yeah, have a great holiday. Great sports mind. New book coming out.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll see you at the Garden. And people, check out his book, Rangers by the Numbers, comes out in about a month. And check out the articles at NewYorkSportsDay.com. Right, Howie?
Right, thanks, guys.
All right, thank you very much. Take care of yourself.
Great sports mind.
All right, folks, we're going to go to a break. We're going to come back, and then me and Sweeney, we're going to go through the names and the Hall of Fame talk and who belongs and who doesn't and why. And that's going to be it.
In our opinion.
All right, so we got a half hour. If you want to call in that last half hour, 631-888-8811. You're more than welcome to call in, talk about whatever you want. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with the Baseball Hall of Fame talk.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on SportsTalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to SportsTalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gustbuster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit Gustbuster.com and get your Gustbuster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
All right, folks, we're back. Sports Talk 1240.
We're
Sweeney in the Wilds. We got less than a half hour to go. Listen, we're going to give you the whole thing. So, Howie Carpenter is a great guest, but we wanted to talk a little bit about a book he has coming out, Rangers by the Numbers. And,
we got
sidetracked talking Mets and Yankees with him with the new managerial hires. So, we were kind of shoving his Hall of Fame thoughts into our conversation. But now, me and Sweeney, we're going to elaborate on who we think should be voted in and who we shouldn't vote in. And we're going to give you the full info on everybody. And we're only going to agree We're going to list the guys that we both agree should go in. Those are the only guys that we're going to predict that go in. So it doesn't matter. If one of us only thinks, then we're not going to put them on our list. So here we go, Sweeney.
And we're going to check our list at
the
end.
The first guy is easy, since we've rolled up with Howie, and that's Vladimir Guerrero.
I think Vlad's in.
Vladimir Guerrero had a Hall of Fame batting average.
449 homers, yes. Your Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer, 100%.
318 career batting average. That right there alone. Hall of Fame batting average. He won an MVP. Tremendous defensive outfielder. For a big guy, he had one, two, three, four 200 hit seasons.
And he had a cannon of an arm.
Cannon
of an arm. He's 100% in my book. This is his second year. I'm surprised he didn't get in last year.
1,496 ribbies.
Vlad is
1,300 plus runs scored. Vlad is definitely a Hall of Famer.
He's in my book.
He should have been in last year. You're right. Should have had more than what was needed, more than the 75%. In fact, what did he come up with? 74%? He should have been in right away last year.
Yes.
Okay. So we agree on him, right?
And now let's go to the second one that I think we both agree on.
I'm going
to
go down the list because you don't have the whole list.
I haven't right in front of me.
All right, well,
I think Chipper is definitely in.
He's the first timer. We didn't get the first timer.
Oh, we're not doing first time.
Since we spoke about him, Chipper Jones, we definitely agree on, because Chipper Jones, one of the great all-time switch hitters, right? He won an MVP award in 1999. Solid defensive player, no gold gloves, a few silver sluggers, but listen, a .303 lifetime batting average, along with a batting title that he won in 2008. He also had 549 doubles, well over 400 homers, 1,600 plus ribbies.
That's insane.
2,726 hits. So, I mean, he was durable.
He's in.
He missed 1 year due to injury when he was young in 1994. Otherwise, maybe he does stick around for 3,000 hits. Chipper Jones is without question. And he also was a member of a World Series winning Atlanta Braves team also.
I think he left a little early. I think Chipper could have stayed a little longer, and he decided to step off.
He could have kept playing. Listen, he retired when he was 40. He missed the entire 1994 season. If he played that full season, he would have been well over 2,800 hits.
Right.
Close to 2,900. He would have stuck around for 3,000.
He was stuck around for another year. Right, exactly.
So we got two guys that are definite, right? Chipper Jones, the first time
and
on the
Vlad,
ballot,
and
Vlad's coming into his second year on
Let's
the ballot.
Let's see your next one.
Okay, now here's a guy that I don't think is a Hall of Famer that everyone talks about. Edgar Martinez. Do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
Because he's a DH.
He's a DH only.
DH only. He had a great, great career, but he only DH'd.
This is what
I don't
he had.
Think so.
Let me see if you agree with this. He had a Hall of Fame batting average. He batted .312.
Yes.
Won two batting titles. But to me, if you're only going to be a DH, you got to give me something, right? He didn't have tremendous home run power. He had enough home run power, but he only hit like 309 home runs. That's it, 309. And if you're a DH and you're supposed to be the great hitter he was, you better give me 3,000 hits. And he only had 2,247 hits. That's not even close to being enough.
And you better be up in the 400 area home runs if you're going to.
And he also played in the steroid era.
Yeah.
And he did nothing until he was 29 years old. 29 years old was the first time he had a good season.
He started taking off.
Won a batting title, had 46 doubles at age 29. All his work was done in his 30s during the height of steroids. During the years 1993 through 2001. That's the height of steroid use. So, now, I'm not saying Edgar did anything. But the probability that he did stuff when he trained in the offseason is probably above 50%.
I agree.
You agree or not?
Yeah. So,
all right, so we both agree he's not a Hall of Famer. All right, do you want to discuss Clemens and Bonds, or you want to just put that on the side?
Clemens, Bonds, Sosa, and Manny. You know, it's a shame, too, because Manny was probably the best. He had the best swing. He was probably the best hitter I ever seen in my life.
Probably the best right-handed hitter of our era.
Yeah, that I ever saw. He was phenomenal. But he's out. Right. In my opinion, I can't see how you could put those guys with the guys that actually
won.
So
you don't want to vote for those guys?
No. Now, they're out. Or they have a separate list.
Now, do you give them consideration because of guys like Piazza and Pudge Rodriguez, or no?
No, first of all, Piazza never got a. Just
because they weren't followed around.
David Ortiz was on the list.
Well, David Ortiz tested positive.
Yes,
right?
Those guys are out. Right. In my book, they're out.
Right.
Okay.
Do you think that Piazza did something wrong in terms of illegal? In terms of
look, I'm a Mets fan. And I say
just
no.
Asking you.
No.
All right.
No.
Well, I think you're lying, and I definitely think
I'm a Mets fan.
I definitely think he took performance enhancers.
I'm a Mets fan.
And maybe Pudge did too, but Pudge was more of a Hall of Famer than Piazza. That's a fact.
Pudge was more of a Hall of Famer.
His defense was better than anybody outside of Johnny Bench. He was excellent.
Yeah, but Piazza was a much better hitter.
He couldn't catch to save his life. He might as well have been a DH.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying. Right? Yeah. He couldn't throw out but your mother trying to save second base.
He was a torrid hitter.
Yeah.
He boom.
One of the best hitting catches.
Yes.
So he was a hitter that just happened to catch. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And he bowed down to Piazza, which I still factor into my thoughts.
No, he bowed down to Clemens, you're saying. Not
who did
Piazza.
I say?
You say Piazza.
No, he bowed down to Clemens.
That was disgusting.
And
he took judo lessons because he said the next time he meets him.
That was so depressing.
Reach down, Mary. Lift up your skirt.
I don't know. That's a whole separate discussion.
I'm a Mets fan. That makes me sick.
All right, now listen. Here's one that I don't know if I agree with Howie on this. Mike Mussina. What do you think about him for the Hall?
Okay, here's my thing with Mussina. 270 career wins. He got his 20th.
That's a lot in the steroids.
That's a lot.
When pitchers don't go the distance a lot.
And he wasn't an overpowering pitcher. And on top of that, if you agree with me with this one, I know he finished his career with the Yankees. He won 20 games that last year. But he pitched in Baltimore, and that place was a little beanbox.
It's a hitter's power.
Yeah, man. This guy.
He only had 20 wins once, but he won 18
games.
Or more games five times.
He's 100.
And his ERA, like, you look at the steroids.
Yeah, 3-something, right?
3.68. That's a great ERA during that era.
Can I just tell you something, Mike Mussina?
That curveball, that knuckle curve, right?
And I think Mussina would have came back for another year. But you know something, though, with Mussina? In my opinion, that guy's in the Hall of Fame. I think he's a Hall of Famer.
He's top five in the Cy Young vote 6 times.
What do you think of Mussina?
I mean, not that I care about pitchers defensively, but he did win a handful of Gold Gloves as a
pitcher. He was one of the best fielding pitchers at the time. Yes, in his era, he won 5. How many Gold Gloves did he win? Because I know he was always
at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes.
Yeah,
6.
He was always in contention.
6 Gold Gloves. 7.
Yeah.
7.
And don't forget,
I feel like the count on Sesame Street.
Yeah.
5, 7, 7 Gold Gloves.
Count. Here we go. Don't forget this, ladies and gentlemen. He pitched most of his career in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Beanbox.
Beanbox. Sandbox or beanbox?
Whatever
beanbox.
It is. Whatever it is. It's a little. It's a little. Yeah. Me and you could probably hit the wall. At least I could.
Famer. So put Mussina on the ballot.
Yes. Mussina's on my.
I think he's a Hall of Famer. He had a great career. He was one of the best pitchers.
Yes, I agree.
All right, Curt Schilling. I think he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Curt Schilling's actually on the bubble.
11-2 in the postseason?
What is. Let me just take
11-2 with a 2.23 ERA. He won a World Series MVP, an NLCS MVP, and he won 3 World Series, including the 2 with Boston. Mainly, the main one being the one that broke the curse, right?
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. I got to put Curt Schilling in the Hall of Fame. He struck out over 3,000 batters. He had 300 or more Ks in the season 3 times. He led the league in complete games 4 times. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. He's 216 career wins, right?
Almost a 600 win percentage. That's Hall of Fame-ish there. 216 and 146.
Do you want to be honest?
And a 3.46 ERA during a steroid era. That's pretty damn good, no?
Yeah. But you know something, though? I agree with you. His postseason was impeccable.
I think the postseason, it's almost like with John Smoltz. You got to put him in. John Smoltz was another guy. He was like 9-4. He was a monster in the postseason.
Yeah,
whereas like guys like Maddox and Glavine got hammered. The only time Glavine was really good in the playoffs was against the Indians in 95, which they won the World Series, and he got the MVP.
Maddox got
hammered in the postseason, though.
Yeah, but Maddox was a good pitcher.
He was great.
Yeah,
300
great.
Wins? Yeah. Well, are you just going to measure it with 300 wins?
Well, that's one of the criteria to get into.
All right,
game,
well,
right?
This guy
I'm gonna tell you
had,
this.
Had a World Series MVP. And
if me and you
want to
put
teams.
Curt Schilling in, I'm going to tell you this right now.
Who?
This is his sixth year going into this thing.
Who?
He's not getting in. But I'll put him in. But I don't think he's gonna get. I don't think he's gonna get in. I don't think so.
Oh, I'm not saying.
I don't think he's
whether
gonna
he's
get in.
Getting in or not.
Would we put him in?
Would I put him in? I would put him in.
Yeah, I'm on the bubble with him.
All right, then we don't put him on the list if you're on the bubble.
Yeah, no. I'm on the bubble.
He's off the list.
Because I know for.
Well, Mussina, do you want to put him in or not?
Mussina's in. In my opinion,
I think he's
getting
right.
in.
So we'll leave him
I
on
think
there.
Chipper, Vladimir Guerrero, we
Schilling,
have
you
won't
put on the list because you're on the bubble with him. What about Larry Walker?
See, Larry Walker.
He's got to be the best
Canadian.
I know people don't think about it, but there's no Canadian ball players in the Hall of Fame.
If there is a Canadian Hall of Fame, baseball Hall of Fame, he's number one.
No, there's not one.
If there is, he's number one.
But you got to give a measure of respect and marks for a guy who came from Canada.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
No, I agree with you.
If you don't think American hockey players are judged a little differently for the Hall of Fame, you'd be fooling yourself.
But America has their own Hall of Fame. For
they have a USA, a right. U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. What does that mean? In terms of the Hockey Hall of Fame up in Toronto, listen, you've seen top 10 lists, best American players, Mike Modano,
right.
Pat LaFontaine, Chris Chelios, Brian Lee. It's still something that...
Walker is the number one. If there was a Canadian Hall of Fame for
baseball,
Walker's number
maybe
one.
Maybe Votto exceeds him as the best ball
now,
player.
But Walker already proved it.
Walker won, like, how many gold gloves did he win? Eight? You don't even know.
No,
one,
I don't know.
Two, three, four, five, six, seven gold gloves.
I was looking at Walker. I
seven
Walker.
Gold gloves. He won three batting titles.
He was a hitting machine.
Three batting titles, a .313 career batting average. And the guy grew up playing baseball in Canada. Not in the Dominican Republic, not in Puerto Rico, and not in Florida. Okay?
You know, the bad
he
thing
grew up in Canada, freezing his ass off.
Playing.
In Maple Ridge, Canada? Where the hell's that? Are you kidding me? He's a Hall of Famer. And you know what? Maybe Votto will make it someday, too.
This is his eighth year, too.
Don't put him on the list because you don't seem sold on him.
You're going into the baseball Hall
of
Fame.
I just think the guy's a Hall of Famer. Defensive, one of the best defensive outfielders, and he's got a Hall of Fame batting average with three batting. He won three batting titles, and he won an MVP, didn't he?
Well, we didn't hit on one guy that I think has to go.
Walker won an MVP also.
Did Jim Thome
in 1997?
How many did Jim Thome ever win an MVP? I think he did, right?
No. Thome didn't win any MVPs.
How many? Thome played how many years?
Thome's a Hall of Famer.
Oh yeah, I agree.
I
agree with you 100%. The guy has 612 home runs. He's going into the Hall of Fame.
He also had 1,699 RBIs, so almost 1,700 ribbies.
That is insane.
1,583 runs scored. 2,300 hits. A .276 lifetime batting average. Not too bad for the Roy Hobbs of baseball, and he's never been linked to steroids.
No.
You know, like suspicion with Clemens, right, or testing with him and Bonds, or suspicion with Piazza, or Big Poppy failed the test, or Giambi had all the suspicion around him, or all these other ball players.
I'm only putting five in.
I never heard Thome spoken about in that regard. So Tommy's a Hall of Famer.
I'm only putting five in. We already got Vladimir Guerrero, Chipper Jones, Mike Mussina. Jim Thome, we need one more.
We got four guys.
And I'm putting one more in, and I think that's how it's going to be. And we're excluding all the, like we said, we already spoke about it, all the steroid guys are out. And
yeah,
I can't see those guys getting in.
I'll give you a guy that if I was voting, now we're only going to list the predictions
but
of
I,
guys that we agree on, but I'm going to tell you right now who I would vote for. There were seven guys that I would vote for if I was voting, okay? Vlad's one of them.
Right. I know who you're gonna go with the next guy.
Mussina's another one.
Okay.
Curt Schilling's the third. Larry Walker's a fourth guy that I would have voted for. Right? That's four. Chipper Jones is five for me. Jim Thome six. And I gotta be honest with you.
Andrew
I'll argue with anybody. Omar Vizquel is a Hall of Famer. Omar Vizquel is second to Ozzie Smith in gold gloves.
This is his first
shortstop is a defense position. It became a hitter's position in the steroid era. Maybe with Cal Ripken when he first came up, but it became more of a prevalent power position in the steroid era. Right or wrong? Am I wrong about that?
No, he was phenomenal.
Okay, so he's one of the last little men to play shortstop. He's probably about 5'8", 160, whatever he weighed, 2,877 hits. I don't care how you want to slice that up. .272 is his batting average, but his defense is what puts him over the top. 11 gold gloves. He's second all-time to Ozzie Smith. And he made it look effortless. He made the tough plays look easy. Like, Ozzie Smith made everything look exciting. And he was exciting. But Omar, he made everything look easy, John.
Yeah.
He also had over 400 steals, which is nothing to sneeze at. So
no, I was looking at that. That is a category that I looked at. I saw it. It's 401.
He scored 1,445 runs. That's a good number.
What he let off, right? Wasn't he a leadoff guy? Second. He batted second.
Batted at the bottom. He batted eighth a lot. Yeah. He wasn't always a leadoff guy. He was a defensive wizard. And I think you got to put premiums. There's certain guys. It's like, listen, Brooks Robinson had how many gold gloves at third base? 16?
Yeah.
Whatever he had, 18? But his power numbers are nothing compared to like a Mike Schmidt or a George Brett or some of the other. And at shortstop, I mean, really, what were Phil Rizzuto's numbers at shortstop? Or any of the small guys that made it back in the day? You know?
No, I agree with you.
Cal Ripken was the first of his kind. Guys like Ernie Banks, they moved. He switched to first base. He couldn't stay at shortstop his whole career.
Yeah.
Omar Vizquel was winning gold gloves in his 40s. That's how great he was defensively.
Well, he did play a long time. He was a little
his
bit of a compiler.
His range was incredible. Think about all the runs he saved. And think about all the innings.
That is part of it.
Think about all the innings he stopped with double plays or diving plays he made or coming across barehanded the ball, throwing a guy out barely at first.
I was looking at Chipper, but Chipper doesn't have the numbers. Andrew Jones.
Andrew Jones, I wouldn't vote for him this year, but I got to be honest with you. The guy, he had over 400 home runs, but he played in the steroid era. But listen, 10 gold gloves. The only guys that had more gold gloves are the same are Clemente and Mays and Griffey Jr. So, I mean, this guy, he's one of the best fielding outfielders I've ever seen. He would have won an MVP in 2005 if he didn't have such a low batting average, but he led the league in home runs and ribbies that year. That's rare. Doesn't happen all the time. Couple of silver slugs, but like I said, 10 consecutive seasons.
Let me ask you this question.
Gold glove.
We have four on our list. You don't like Trevor Hoffman. He's the all-time leading
save. I just think Trevor Hoffman.
All-time leading save.
I look at it like this. You got some dopes out there that try to compare Trevor Hoffman to...
He's the number one save
guy. Try to compare him to Billy Wagner. But I'll give Trevor Hoffman this. Yeah, he lost the World Series, but the Yankees won 114 games that year. And that's who he blew it to. Blew it against in the World Series. But other than that series against the Yankees, he was okay in the postseason. He had some good moments. Billy Wagner, his ERA in the postseason was like a 10. Now, this ain't some beauty pageant that we're rating girls on, okay? A 10 ERA? Guess what? You're a horrible closer in the clutch. He's no more than John Franco, and maybe he's a little better than
John. His postseason was horrible. I agree with you. All right, here we go.
So, my thing with Trevor Hoffman is, before I even think about putting him in, he's got to wait till Rivera goes in. When Rivera's eligible and he goes in, then I'll worry about who else is
going to Rivera's going in.
He's not eligible yet.
He's got to wait 3 more years?
Yeah, I don't know how many. I don't know.
And
a couple of years.
I think it's 5 years, right?
And he'll go in.
And Rivera's in 100%, slides right in, the greatest closer of all time.
Yeah.
All right, here you go. I'm going to give you two names.
Go ahead.
You pick one for number five, because all we're putting in is five.
Go ahead.
Okay? Here we go. Omar Vizquel.
Omar Vizquel.
Larry Walker. Who are you putting in?
I put Vizquel in first.
Okay, so that's who we're going to put on the list.
I put Vizquel.
I agree with you. Because he was a defensive guru.
He was great.
And that saved runs.
He's the last.
Yes, I agree with you 100%.
He's the last of the great little shortstops. You'll never see another one like that again.
Plus, he had
nowadays, they all got a hit. Even Rosario's big. He's tall. He ain't no shortstop. He ain't no 5'8". He's the last of the little men to play that position. A throwback to the days of Pee Wee Reese.
We got this
and
list
Phil
here.
Rizzuto.
All right, here's the list, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the list, folks. Vladimir Guerrero, in. Right?
Definitely.
Chipper Jones, in.
He's in. Those two are definitely in.
Mike Mussina, in.
We think he's in.
Jim
Tomei. I don't vote him, though.
Tomei's in.
I think Tomei goes in this year. I really do.
Well, so do I.
I think he gets 75% at least.
He's got it. He's going in.
I think Mussina and Vizquel are the most popular
on the bubble.
On that list.
They're on the bubble. But I think Tomei, Jones,
and I just think
Chipper
it's
Jones
don't know how to vote.
No, but also, right.
They should have a special panel
because
of guys that know the game.
He also saved
and know
runs,
how to evaluate
right.
what needs to be accomplished in terms of
it isn't only an offensive
as a teammate,
like you said.
And as an individual.
Right.
You know, back in the day, I told a lot of guys, I told Howie this, we were talking about this last time I saw him with the guard. You know, back in the day, guys that were beat writers for teams, going back to the 80s, 70s, 60s, you know, they traveled with these teams, they were all the games. That's because the games weren't all on TV. And if you go back even further, you know, there was a time where baseball was just on the radio. So if you weren't at the game, you didn't see these guys playing.
Of course not.
No. Right?
Right. You're 100% right. Yeah.
But nowadays with MLB Network and the 1,000 channels and the baseball
million
package,
channels, watching
everything. You can watch every game.
You can stream it on your computer. You can stream it on your phone.
But you have to. So why do they have to have a Baseball Writers Association vote? What makes every one of them qualified to vote?
Right, but let me ask you this question.
I'm being honest with
you. Let me ask you this question, though. Then who's going to judge to get them in?
You could put a panel together that does it. How do they do it for the NFL?
NFL's
not the Writers Association, is it?
No.
I don't think hockey's done that way either.
In the NFL, somebody
campaigns for a guy, and then they have a panel that votes on it.
Right, yeah. But who's that panel, though? The panel for
the
this
panel
is the baseball
be
writers.
Ball players.
Right.
Maybe a guy like Bob Gibson's on that panel. Maybe a guy like Don Sutton's on that panel.
Yeah, maybe. But a guy like, well, see, the problem with
maybe
that.
Maybe some former umpires that spent 30, 40 years in the league are on that panel.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some writers that are qualified and should be because they spend their life watching baseball.
Because you got to do it with the new guys.
Metrics,
right.
Maybe some of those guys should be on the panel.
Because you can't just go by, like, you have to go by both offense and defense. Defense also wins games, as we know. Okay? And also, like you said, a guy like Curt Schilling that actually was.
Curt Schilling should be in the Hall of Fame.
He's on the bubble with me. Yeah, his postseason was phenomenal.
He's right there.
Phenomenal. Will he get in?
Find other guys that were as dominant in the postseason as him.
There aren't too many.
And he won the World Series.
There aren't any.
The Sox fans were ready to kill themselves.
Yeah.
They thought they'd never win. And he was part of getting rid of that curse. And before that, he beat the Yankees with Arizona.
Yes.
Where he won a World Series MVP with Randy Johnson.
Yeah, they had a good team. Right, yeah.
Not every Hall of Famer can be a 300-win pitcher. There's other factors. You got to measure everything and add it up.
No, I agree with you with his postseason. Let's see this year. But I'm just saying I don't think he's going to get in. But
I don't think he will either because
they hate him. Yeah, that's the only reason why. And that's the sad part.
From a person's standpoint, he says a lot of stupid things. He doesn't think twice before he says something.
He's another one that doesn't think before he speaks.
Now, there's two guys that we didn't put on that list, old-timers that I think are Hall of Famers. I want to get your thoughts on that.
Let's hear them.
One is Steve Garvey. How the hell is Steve Garvey not in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, Popeye arms.
He had 6 200 hit seasons. He won an MVP. He finished with like 27, 2800 hits, whatever it was. Gold glove first baseman. I mean, in the 70s, every kid wanted to be like Steve Garvey.
How is Steve Garvey?
He won
not
a World
in
Series
Hall
with the Dodgers. You tell me how he's not. I don't know how he's not in the Hall of Fame. And let me give you another guy.
To me,
guy.
That's a tragedy.
Let me give you another guy. Dale Murphy.
Yeah.
Dale Murphy must be the only guy that won back-to-back MVPs.
Dale Murphy in Atlanta was like the god down in Atlanta. They love that guy.
He was
guy
the only guy worth seeing.
Yeah, he was the only guy doing anything.
I mean, Bob Horner was good, but he was there and gone.
And when Murphy was on that Atlanta team, they stunk. That Atlanta team stunk back then. It was only because of him. When he came up here, the only reason why you're going to see the Mets play Atlanta back in the day, they weren't that great of a team, was to go see Murphy.
How about this? Dale Murphy won back-to-back home run titles in 1984 and 85. Back-to-back Ruby titles in 1982 and 83. In 1982 and 1983, he won back-to-back MVPs.
Listen,
he won 5 gold gloves as a big center fielder. The first of his kind. Most center fielders were not big. If they were tall, they were lanky. This guy was like 6'3", 220 pounds, and he could patrol the outfield. Won a bunch of silver sluggers.
I'm going with Dale Murphy.
This is what I mean by guys
as a write-in.
Here's guys that just go with numbers. He finished with 398 home runs. Let me tell you something. Before this, he retired in 1993. He was done basically in 91 before the steroid era really took off. When he retired, he was probably one of only 21, 22 guys. You know, there were like 21 or 22 guys with 400 or more home runs when he retired, let's say, in their career. So he finished with 398. Listen, if he had 2 more home runs, he'd be in the Hall of Fame already. That's what's pathetic about
and
him.
And that guy could field. He could field, too.
He won 5 gold
gloves. Yeah, he was fantastic.
And he could run. He scored, stole what? We score 161
listen,
bases.
Listen, we're going for an extra question mark on the 6th. We'll take a put in. I would think okay. Murphy would go in before Garvey.
I can't believe
Garvey.
Dale Murphy's not in.
Before Garvey.
Garvey was phenomenal.
Garvey would play first base. Garvey he was phenomenal. They were a good team with Say and those guys and Reggie Smith and those guys. Yes, they had a great team.
You like Reggie Smith?
Yeah. They had a great team.
He was a switch hitter.
Yeah. How about Parker? Why isn't Parker in? Is he done? The Cobra?
Well, let's look at it this way. How many hits did Garvey have? Keep talking. Steve Garvey.
No,
2,599 hits.
2,500. There you
all
go.
Right? He had 6 200 hit seasons. That's like Lou Gehrig-esque. Right
yes,
there.
Lou Gehrig-esque.
Like I said, MVP 1974. He won 4 gold gloves. 10-time All-Star.
And how many years?
Two times.
How many years did he play?
He was the NLCS MVP twice, in addition to the regular season MVP. 10-time All-Star. 4 gold gloves. 2 All-Star MVP awards.
Yeah.
Guy's a Hall of Famer.
And you know something with those guys back then? They only hit like 20, 25 home runs back then. They weren't hitting a lot, like bombing 30 out, driving in 100-something ribbies. Back then, that Dodger team, you had Say, you had Garvey, you had Reggie Smith, Give me another guy. There was another guy on that team that hit home runs. They had four guys on that 1 year. Baker. Yeah. Those four guys had 20 homers or more.
Darby.
Yes, right. At one time. They had a great team.
Pedro Guerrero later on, right?
Yeah, yeah. So you're saying
Dave Parker won back-to-back batting titles, but he only finished with a .290 batting.
.339.
So that hurts him a little bit,
I thought he was a .339.
He had 339 homers. 1,493 ribbies. That's pretty good. And he had 1,272 runs scored, 2,700 hits, so he didn't get the 3,000 hits, over 500 doubles, and he's another guy. Well, he only had three gold gloves in the outfield. He's a tremendous outfielder.
Yeah.
But he won three gold gloves. I think he's on the bubble because he split an MVP with Keith Hernandez in 1979.
The Cobra.
Oh, no, he won in 78 with Rice won in the American.
Yes.
79.
All right, so hold on.
Split with the stars.
Vladimir Guerrero, Chipper Jones, Mike Piscina, Tim Tomei, Vasquel, and the last name.
Say Omar Vizquel.
Omar Vizquel. I said it three Vizquel. Times. Listen, you.
Stop Pascual Perez.
You Darth Vader of the Hockey League with the Rangers. Listen to me. Dale Murphy or Steve Garvey? Who goes in?
I would give Dale Murphy the nod.
Me too. Give me five. We're going in. Good show.
All right, buddy.
Hey, let's go, Islanders. Let's hope Tavares signs. Belmont. You got to sign that thing with Belmont. All right, so let's go, Islanders.
Did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.